Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
Welcome to Chinook. I'm Paula Schiller. The crowning event of this year's World Eskimo Indian Olympics was the crowning event, the selection of the 1980 Queen. The Queen contest is not an ordinary beauty pageant, although beauty certainly helps. The judges were looking for something more.
We have 13 beautiful girls from all over the state, and also a contestant from Inuvik, Canada. The girls are judged on their general appearance, self-confidence, knowledge of native or local customs, poise, personality, and attitude.
The Queen contestants had ample opportunity to display their queenly qualities in two rounds of questions and answers. The questions were written by the contestants and reflect the young women's concern for their native heritage. Here are the top three contestants as they appeared in the final round of judging. They're not in order. We'll tell you the winners later.
Contestant number two, Maureen Russell, Miss Arctic Circle. Maureen is from Kotzebue. She's 17 and a half years old. She's the daughter of Homer and Margaret Russell. She was born in Kotzebue. She's Inupiaq Eskimo, has six brothers and five sisters. Maureen is the eighth child. She's a spring graduate of Kotzebue High School. Her future plans are to attend college to major in art and education. Then she'd like to return to Kotzebue to teach art. She enjoys art, designing, and sports. Maureen, contestant number two, Miss Arctic Circle. You have to go ahead and draw. Okay, Maureen's question. How do your future plans tie into your native heritage and culture?
First of all, my plans are to go to college in art and come back to my hometown and teach the little kids art from our culture. And plus painting and drawing, which you'll be drawing and painting from the old people and things like that. I'll also be helping, which is very important, helping our young kids with their problems and notice what they're doing wrong in school. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen Russell, Miss Arctic Circle, contestant number two. Contestant number four, Yvonne Wright, Miss Cook Inlet Native Association. Yvonne is from Anchorage. She's originally from Ruby. She's 18 years old, the daughter of Martha Wright. She was born in Galena. She's Athabascan, has four brothers and two sisters. She's a 1980 graduate of East Anchorage. Her future plans are to attend the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. She enjoys beadwork, dog sledding, snowshoeing, and trapping. Contestant number four, Yvonne Wright, Miss Cook Inlet Native Association. Come on back here. Come on back this way. Yvonne, your question. What kind of Alaska Native courses would you like to see taught in school?
Education, I believe, is something the old people have instilled in each and every one of us, whether it be our culture or whether it be part of this Western world. People, I believe in hanging on to a rich culture that will not fade. And I say to hang on to your language, your ways of dance, because they have a sentimental value and they make us happy in our family. The unity of our people makes us masters of our destiny. Thank you.
Yvonne Wright, Contestant number four, Ms. Cook Inlet Native Association. Thank you, Yvonne. Contestant number five, Deanne Lincoln, Miss Arctic Native Brotherhood. Deanne is from Nome. She's 19 years old, and she's the daughter of Howard Lincoln and Florence Doyle. She was born in Nome and raised in Golovin. She's Inupiaq Eskimo, has three older sisters and one brother. She's a 1980 graduate of West Valley High School in Fairbanks. Her future plans are to become a flight attendant and to run the Iditarod race someday. She enjoys art, journalism, photography, and sports. Deanne? Okay, if you'll come back here. Your question. Why would you encourage young Alaska Native women to enter the Native Queen contest?
Being here for the first time in the Olympics has been a great experience for me. I have enjoyed meeting everyone from every part of Alaska, and I've learned so much, and it's been a great inspiration for me to learn about all different cultures and see the different Native dress, and it's been great. And what was it?
That was it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Deanne. Miss Arctic Native Brotherhood from Nome.
As the 13 contestants finished the final round of judging, the reigning 1979 queen prepared to retire her crown.
At this time, I would like to give a special recognition to our reigning queen, 1979, Marilyn Milligraf. She's an Inupiaq Eskimo from Nome, 20 years old. Her parents are Dwight and Jesse Milligraf. She comes from a family of 13. During her reign as queen this year, she traveled to two places to represent the World Eskimo Indian Olympics. In October, to Albuquerque for the Miss National Congress of American Indians, where she won Miss Congeniality out of 19 contestants. Then in April this year, she went to San Diego, California, and participated in the first annual Indian Eskimo Expo.
Hello. I'd like to tell you first my thanks to the World Eskimo Indian Olympics Committee for sponsoring my travels to San Diego and to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And first off, I'd like to tell you a little something off the side, the effect of being reigning queen. I was sitting with the officials just recently, and some of them told me how much of a change they have seen in me from last year since I was crowned. They said last year I was just shy, and all of a sudden this year I'm just all over and bouncy. One little effect of being queen. Thank you. Okay. I'd like to. I'd like to tell you something that is very hard for me to say right now, but I thought about it just before I came up. I feel very ashamed that I do not know my native tongue fluently, and that I do not know my native dances. And yet that is not my guilt. It should be my elders, for they did not teach me. I know of my native heritage, but my native tongue and my dancing I would have liked to know, and I'm going to try and learn it soon and pass it down to my children. Sometimes the world economy is so shaky lately. We might have to live on subsistence soon. I'd like to say to each one of you natives, you have an obligation to your children to pass on your native ways. We must not lose our heritage. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marilyn. And now we have Miss Photogenic. We had two candidates that tied. Miss Cook Inlet Native Association, Yvonne Wright, and Miss Arctic Circle, Maureen Russell. Miss Photogenic was selected by the press and photographers. Our Miss Congeniality for 1980, Miss Arctic Native Brotherhood, Deanne Lincoln. Second runner-up, Miss Arctic Circle, Maureen Russell. Runner-up, Miss Arctic Native Brotherhood, Deanne Lincoln. Everybody's waiting. Okay, our 1980 Miss World Eskimo Indian Olympics, Yvonne Wright, Cook Inlet.
The new World Eskimo Indian Olympics queen raises her hand in the closed-fisted salute of native power as she poses with the runners-up for photographers. And not overwhelmed by it all, she surprises the audience with an acceptance speech.
May I have your attention, please? I would like to share with you something that occurred before the pageant. I prayed to the Lord for confidence and for the words to share with you people. I asked Him to come into each of your hearts and to watch over you because I love every one of you. And people, I want to dedicate this song in Indian to Lena Peters from Minto, who passed away. This song is asking, what will my grandchildren do when I'm gone? Suko yuko detonitni. Suko yuko detonitni. Thank you.
Yvonne Wright, the 1980 World Eskimo Indian Olympics Queen. I'm Paula Schiller, and you've been listening to Chinook, a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
Welcome to Chinook. I'm Paula Schiller. Once again, we're bringing you some of the spirit and action of the World Eskimo Indian Olympics. The Olympics have been held every summer in Fairbanks since 1961. Participation and enthusiasm for the Games has been growing every year. It takes cooperation, money, and a lot of helping hands. And that's been the theme of several conversations taped at the Olympics in the last 2 years. Cooperation and competition.
Will you tell me who you are, please?
Greg Nothstein.
And where do you come from?
Anchorage, with CINA.
Would you describe the blanket toss for us?
Well, originally you get a bunch of people, as many as you can fit into the hand rings of the blanket at the end, and everybody pulls on it. At the same time, this pull momentum shoots the person forward, upward anyway. Uh-huh. And they kind of, they get the rhythm going, they keep pulling on it. There's no lifting involved in it. You keep pulling it. You pull it outward, so the center pushes the person up. And on the count of three, you get this rhythm going, and the person stays in the center, and after the third time, everybody pulls as hard as they can. They shoot them up there.
About how many people does it take on a blanket?
Depending on how big the blanket is, I guess it would take about 40, 50 people.
And how does it feel when you're doing it?
Oh, I guess it's similar to the trampoline.
Uh-huh.
Pretty similar, except you don't have that spring effect. It's all in a pool of everybody.
Yeah. It's also a game where people have to work together, isn't it?
Yes, cooperation really helps.
That seemed to me to be the keynote of this whole
yes.
Olympic.
It is.
I guess the comradeship that they're all showing towards each other and the support, and each one of them is pulling for the other person, you know, and it's... I've been really impressed with it.
I noticed that too, that during some of the competitions that it was competition, but they were, if a high kicker, for instance, saw a flaw that one was making, they'd go tell them about it right away.
Yes, they would, and you know, that to me, I think that's really good, and like I say, there is this competitive spirit, but not to the extent where they're really... I guess, you know, where it's really down and dirty, or I'll beat you or else, sort of attitude. It's just a real friendly atmosphere.
One of the things I noticed was that you were coaching. Are you an expert at this kick?
Well, this is my 10th year in competition here at the Eskimo Olympics, so I kind of consider myself maybe not an expert, but when I was starting out, people were helping me, and a lot of these guys are just getting started out. That's how these games are going to survive, if you keep helping the people that you're competing with.
Yeah, let's go back and tell who you are.
I'm Reggie Jewell from Kotzebue.
From Kotzebue,
yes.
Yeah, and you've been doing this for 10 years.
This is my 10th year at this
moment. Is it customary in a competition for people to help each other like you guys were helping each other?
Yeah, always seem to. People do.
It brings out the best in everybody, see? It brings out the best in all the competitors.
One of the things I'm curious about is, do you have some idea of how this kind of a game got started?
I don't know how it got started.
Well, I can tell you a little bit about how it is.
Tell me who you are, will you?
I'm Ernie Frankson, originally from Point Hope.
Yeah.
And I live up in Barrow. Came down with a Barrow dance group. A 2-foot high kick down at Point Hope. Whenever a whale is caught, there's a runner that goes up into the village from the whaling camp out in the ice. And he runs all the way into town with a good news, right? The whale has been caught for the community. And all those people out there are hunting for the community, and the community has a share. And so what the runner does when he hits the beach, he hits the beach, the ground, and then he begins the high kicks.
How are we going to pack it out?
With 2 feet. He'll run a little ways, and then he'll give a kick up like that. With 2 feet. And then he'll run some more and kick again. And
Tom, do you see him?
See that.
So it really was a signal to the people that a whale had been caught. And
that.
It was really a high kick of joy then.
That's one of the games that I used in our colleges. Between the members of the different colleges, like different organizations within the community. So between each other, they compete for days, you know.
So that the idea of competition is not a new idea.
No, not at all.
There was always competition.
There's always been there.
Uh-huh. But the competition seems very friendly. I noticed that when you were trying to help each other win, and when somebody didn't make it, it seemed to me that everybody felt kind of uncomfortable about it.
Well, yeah, not really uncomfortable because you know that they gave it their best shots, you know. And if you've helped them, well, there's always next year,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And they'll always be back.
Right.
And we've seen a lot of new faces come this year. And so you want to encourage them to keep coming back and just make them feel welcome, you know.
Thank you very much, both of you.
The object is to leave the ground and touch the target with both feet and land back on your feet on the floor. It's not as easy as it looks. In fact, most of us could probably only do that with an object that's 1 or 2 feet off the floor. And I would guess that the women here are going to get up to 4 or 5 feet.
Okay, is this the first time you've ever been in a women's 2-foot high kick?
In Fairbanks, yes, but I was in 2-foot high kick in Anchorage for 4 years in my high school years.
And this is the first time you've participated in the Olympics?
Right.
Maybe you can explain the style to the people that don't know what this game consists of. Can you explain what you do in the game?
You take a couple of steps and you take off both your feet parallel. And you jump up into the air, hit this ball with both feet, and you gotta land back safely on the floor with your balance.
Okay, all right, thanks very much.
I'd like to have you just say who you are.
I'm Lady Larry from Bethel, Alaska.
Mm-hmm. And what was Reggie Jewell talking to you about?
He was kind of coaching me on and encouraging me.
What sorts of things did he say?
He said, you can do it. And he, when I miss, he'd tell me what was wrong and be sure and do it this way and just get everything together and do it right.
Thank you very much.
You watch tomorrow and on Saturday when the games, especially the 1 foot and the 2 foot high kick, you start coming down to the nitty gritty. You're getting down to the last 2 or 3 people, you know. And even tonight it was there. Those people that are battling for those places are helping each other out. And what's happening is, because of everybody helping everybody else, only the best will win. And everybody is making sure that happens by helping each other out. You know, if they miss, they tell them whether they're in front of it or in back of it, or if their feet are splitting, or if they're short a little bit, or, you know, and it's a beauty of it. It's something you don't see in a lot of competitive sports.
No, you don't. You don't
people are so concerned in getting that gold that
they kind of lose track of
it. Yeah, you're right. And here, because everybody is helping everybody, you are getting the best as first, second, and third. And that is something that's very unique and very special, and very strong friendships are built from it.
The Canadian contingency almost didn't make it here, is that right?
Yeah, we had a meeting last night, and Ernie Bernhardt, the group leader, called And when I talked to him, he said that they weren't going to be able to make it because lack of funding. And I asked him to give me till midnight, their time, which was an hour and a half. And so I talked to the board, and the board did not have any money. Mm-hmm. We had pretty much exhausted the funds to get basics going. You know, we had a little money left over, but it wasn't near enough. And one of the board members, Paul DiAncarlo, made a personal loan of $1,700 to the Olympic Committee. And it's, you know, the after the three nights are over, and from the sales of tickets, from the sales of t-shirts and hats and so on and so forth, from the profits, we will pay her back. And this, the reason that she did it, it's because these games wouldn't be as meaningful if the people from the Northwest Territories weren't here. And she felt strongly enough about it to
commit herself to that extent.
To, yeah, and that is, I don't know if that's anything that's going to be mentioned inside. It's kind of a behind the scenes mm-hmm. thing, and very few people will know of it. But boy, Pauline sure has to be commended for her actions. There's just not enough thanks to be, you know, said.
Reggie Jewell of Kotzebue has been competing in the Olympics for 11 years. He coaches other competitors, and as vice president of the board of directors, he's been an organizer, fundraiser, and part-time truck driver. In 1977, he was the first to win the Howard Rock Memorial Trophy for outstanding athletic ability, and this year he was the first recipient of the Bud Hagberg Memorial Outstanding Sportsmanship Award.
I'd just like to thank the rest of the athletes, and I'm really glad that there is a Bud Hagberg Memorial. You know, these games really mean one hell of a lot to me, and I know they mean one heck of a lot to probably everybody else out there. And I just hope that we can always keep these games going. They've got to be every other part of the native culture has been studied out except the games. It's been a missing link. And let's just keep having fun like this, okay? Thank you.
The 1980 World Eskimo Indian Olympics came to an end around 5:30 Sunday morning. A handful of people remained to the finish as Paul DiAncarlo put away the seal oil lamp until next year. And just to make it a happy ending, Pauline has gotten word that the Olympics made enough money to return the loan she made to the committee.
Well, that ends another year of the World Eskimo Indian Olympics. Let's give each other a hand for staying up so late. We'll see you next year.
From the 1979 and 1980 Eskimo Indian Olympics, you heard Greg Nostein of Anchorage, Evelyn Conwell and Reggie Jewell of Kotzebue, Ernie Frankson of Point Hope, and Lady LaRue of Bethel. They were interviewed by Elizabeth Wegner, a visitor from Chicago, Brad Reeve of KOTZ Kotzebue, and Sharon McConnell of KIAK in Fairbanks. I'm Paula Schiller, and this has been a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.